The person who most caught on to that when it was said, this text about Mark, from Mark here, was Our Lady. She most got it, huh? Because she knew that union with Jesus is in doing the will of the Father. And that everyone who does the will of the Father gives birth to Christ. Not the same way as Mary. But and that's the powerful teaching. But I'm going to go on, if you don't mind. We could spend a lot of time on that. But we'll look at this teaching here. See, if I knew that university was closed, we could really do a good job on this. I'm not sure, so we better stick to the time. He's at the last part of that section, and you see, this man was so gifted by the Holy Spirit. He gazed on that act of love in which Jesus died. And he saw the whole Passover. He saw humanity in Jesus going to the Father. Now he sees it and he describes it in terms of the Feast of Yom Kippur, which was, as he's going to tell us right now, a sketch of the good things to come. It's real, but it's a sketch. And so he is now, he understands all that now. And so he starts to tell us, you see, what the sacrifices were for, what this Feast of Yom Kippur was for. And he sees it radiant and illumined by the act of love in which Jesus died. The part was last week when I was away, you know, where it says, "For the blood of bulls and goats and the scattered ashes of a heifer can cleanse the flesh," you see, "of the believer." And it does. That is, it makes the believer ritually able to join God's people in worship. That's what it's for. Purification is so that we can worship with God's people. So that enables him now. But this is taking place, as he says, according to the flesh. He doesn't say that's terrible. He's not talking about flesh as, you know, driving to sin. It just means on this purely human level. And God did that. And the people lived by that for a millennium. But it was preparation, trying to get us to understand what was really going to happen. Huh? So then the text goes on, "How much more the blood of Christ, the spotless lamb, who offered himself as a spotless lamb by the eternal Spirit, cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God." That's the heart of it. That's where the whole thing is transformed. The act of love in which he dies, the blood he pours out, you see, cleanses our conscience. Our conscience cleanses our spirit. The blood of Christ cleanses our spirit. Do you see the interpenetration of matter and spirit? The blood of Christ, of course, freely offered and freely given, it's not automatic just because it's blood. See, cleanse our conscience. And he says, you know, that he's offered up by the eternal Spirit. Just recently, Chrysostom saw this, and then we kind of forgot it for several centuries. And then, you see, the eternal Spirit refers to the eshtam, the eternal fire. There's a fire always burning in the temple. It's there all the time. And if it ever gets destroyed by the enemy, God has to come and light it again. And that fire is the one from which all the fires of the sacrifices are lit. That's the eshtam, the eternal fire. But in Jesus, that eternal fire is the Holy Spirit. You see, he offered himself by the eternal Spirit. So he's the Holocaust. And he's totally transformed. And he goes up to heaven. And that's what saves us. Now he goes on. "For the law, having a sketch of the good things to come, and not the image itself of the realities," and he goes on, I want to stop there for a minute. He says that he has a skia, a sketch, a shadow. of the good things to come. The law was real. It was an enormous gift of God. The only people in the world who really knew the one true God and worshipped him were the Jews. It was an enormous gift. But it was a sketch. And so history is divided into sketch, icon, and fulfillment. And we live in the middle one, where the reality is present. The reality is present. But not according to the way it exists in itself. Example, Jesus, in all his majesty and glory, surrounded by the angels, will be here on this altar. The same Jesus. But not according to the way of existing that's proper to him, which is to be in his human body, glorious, radiant, worshipped and adored. That's Jesus. But we have the icon. It's the same thing, but not in the mode of existence that's proper to the risen Christ. Is that clear? Early in the morning, I know. But that's, you see, that's the icon. So that's why he says, the law has a sketch of the good things to come. But not the image itself of the realities. We have the realities, but still in image, in icon. Huh? St. Catherine of Siena used to say, Lord, when she received communion, oh, thank you, this is so marvelous. But how long do we have to keep this up in symbol? I want to see you. I want to be joined to you forever. And that's the last stage, right? And so, this man is a spiritual mystic and genius. You understand, you see? That's God's plan. So there was the skia, the sketch. People got used to it. The idea that you offer sacrifice to God, you know, that you have this whole ritual. And every year at Yom Kippur, and then at Pesach, and all the feasts, to celebrate and remember God's acts. When we remember biblically, the acts of God are present to us and they change us. Do this in memory of me. And this one is filled by Christ himself. This is the one we have to try to remember. He remembers. He is here. That's what we live. You see? And so that's the whole plan of salvation is, you see, skia, sketch, icon, reality. And so it's not over. That's why there are prophecies in the Old Testament that are not fulfilled yet. All Isaiah's talk about an eternal worship, and is that what we're doing? No, we're shoveling snow. But one day there will be eternal worship. And we know more about that than they did because of the mercy of God. And so here is Jesus, you see. And so he goes on to say, you know, each year they keep doing this. If it took away sins, they wouldn't have to do it every year. But this act did it. You see? This act of Jesus. The one that in which he offered himself as a spotless lamb and poured out his blood, and he was offered by the eternal spirit who so moved him by love that he burned right up. And that's the blood that purifies us. That's the act of love that purifies us. And so we not only have a sketch of the good things to come, we have the icon itself of the realities. That's Old Testament, New Testament, heaven. Now, you have to pray about these things. As I was thinking this morning's personal note, I did this letter to the Hebrews with Father Vanois, who's now Cardinal Vanois, one of the great scholars of the letter to the Hebrews in our century. So we took the whole semester to do this one chapter. Then Christmas break, I said, I am going to study this thing. And so I spent the whole Easter vacation, you know, reading this over and over and over again. It was such a delight. Ah, one of the first times the Lord really opened up for me the realities, not just the words. I was thinking about that this morning. That was back in 19 whatever, you know, more than 40 years ago. This text is so precious. You see, and that's what we celebrate. And that's what we're supposed to be sharing with people. Don't you understand? You're walking around so scared. You're fighting with God, pushing for abortion and hoping there's no God, and weighed down by sin and scared to death. Forget it. The blood of Jesus has purified you. I'm not worthy. Of course you're not worthy. Nobody is. To be filled with that and share it. See, that's what we're called to do.